It's in you. You possess the power. Just go hard.
I need some motivation.
Motivation.
Every day I try a little harder, but my dedication. Keep my head way above the water. Crying to myself when I yell at the wall. Begging to run, but I needed to crawl. I see the finish line up ahead. Trying to get traction from all of this tread. I am a king. I am a queen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am more than the people welcome can see. I am back. Strong when I'm needing to be. That's my radio voice right there. Hey, guys, gals, gents, ladies, what's up? Welcome back to the podcast that helps you be the leader. I'm Jeremiah Sullivan. I'm ready to just dive right in. This show, this whole podcast is designed to help you guys level up, help you achieve success, help you with leadership, your mindset, your fitness, your life. What makes this show different is that we really do strive to give you guys actionable steps that you can take every single episode to make yourself better, make those around you better, and just continue on your path of personal growth and development. Personal development changed my life tremendously. I went from a small town kid to, you know, elite level military, and served in the 75th Ranger Regiment, infantry officer, company commander, and then ultra endurance athlete, now entrepreneur. And, you know, it's all a byproduct of personal development and working on myself, you know. So I have an obligation to pass down the lessons I've learned over the years to make everybody better. And, you know, maybe some of you guys have achieved more in your lives than I have. Well, we can still all learn from each other. And so I got my wife on today, and she's actually been on for quite some time now. She's going to be co-hosting these for the foreseeable future. And you'll want to get her perspective as well, okay? Because she has a very unique perspective on success, being in a relationship with where both people are entrepreneurs. She's got a very interesting perspective on leadership. She's just an amazing woman, as you guys will find out if you don't know already. But today's show, what we have stored ahead is she picked the topic. And Charisse, come on in and tell us what today's topic is and say what's up to everybody.
Hey, everybody. It's good to be back. I'm so glad to be here. This week, we're going to be talking about overcoming imposter syndrome as a leader.
Okay. Imposter syndrome. Guys, how many of you guys, first of all, this word imposter syndrome, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's overused.
You think so?
Yeah. My first thoughts is that it gets overused. You know, I want to dive into this. Typically, before we jump in, we get caught up in everything. Do you have anything that you want to catch up on before we kick off the show?
No, I think last week we covered most of the most recent updates. Now we're just kind of cruising.
Your fitness journey, anything to update them on?
No, not really. Not really.
Life? No. Good?
No, everything. I'm cuddling my dog. I'm doing my runs. Yeah. I'm having my fun.
Yeah. Life is good right now for the Sullivan household. We had a season of like some stress, but we handled it with these. And we finally feel like settled in here in Florida. We've been here for about, I don't know, what has it been, 7 months or something like that?
8 months.
8 months. But yeah, let's just dive right into the topic. Imposter syndrome. This is a commonly used term, and I think an overly used term. I think that a lot of people misunderstand what imposter syndrome means. And I also think that people hide behind it too. So we're going to clear this up. Let's clear up what imposter syndrome actually means. And then for those of you guys that are out there that don't feel like deserving of the spot that you have, maybe you're trying to stretch to the next level and you don't feel like you belong there, this show is going to be an absolute great one for you to listen to, because you're going to be able to remove the invisible force that's holding you back, the doubt, the fear, the thing that's causing the imposter syndrome. And when you can do that, most of the time, all of us are holding ourselves back. You know, it's like as soon as you get out of your own way in life, things just move so much faster.
Oh man, you're absolutely right.
What's a time in your life where you were just holding yourself back mentally? Like there was nothing really in your way, but you were holding yourself back, Charisse.
That's a good question. Possibly, I think when I first got into fitness training, I had a lot of preconceived notions when I got out of the military, when I first got into lifting seriously. I had a lot of preconceived notions, a lot of limiting beliefs regarding lifting. Things I thought I couldn't do and
like
why I couldn't do them. Like certain exercises, I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this because I have this issue going on or I have this going on. But really, it was just a giant mental block. And once I got through that mental block, I realized that I could do all the things that I thought I couldn't and I could do them well.
Those limiting beliefs are so funny. It's like the fitness program that we run, the table. a lot of people that come through, they have objections right out the gate that they can't do the diet and nutrition. I mean, our best students work through that and then they go get the result anyway. But I was even guilty of that on my nutrition, thinking that I had to eat a certain way, and it was holding me back. That way of thinking was holding me back. It was keeping me a little bit fluffier than I should have been.
It was keeping me from that 8.6%.
Yeah, exactly. And it was keeping me complacent. And a lot of people live like that. Oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. Because they had developed this belief system that and that's the crazy part, is that people want this result, whether it's fitness, business, or their life. But they keep trying to approach getting to the result the same way that they've lived, that's created the current results that they're experiencing, you know? It's fucking wild. It's like, a lot of times people want to change the plan to fit their needs versus fit themselves to the plan, like change themselves to fit the plan.
Yeah. And they're not realizing that the plan itself isn't the point.
Right.
That's not the point. The point is what you're building with the plan, the mental strength, the consistency, the discipline, the mindset that you're building. You know, it has less to do with the actual workout and more to do with the side effects of the workout.
It's all about like fitness is such a good example of just getting out of your own way, because in order to hit that unlock that you're looking for in life, you have to get out of your own way. And imposter syndrome, like you said at the beginning here, is a feeling and a belief that we create inside of ourselves that keeps us from leveling up, you know? And a lot of times people will, if they feel imposter syndrome about the next duty position that they're going to fill or where they're at in life, then they end up shrinking back into the old way of living. They basically deselect themselves from the greater life that they could be living, or the greater achievement, because they don't feel deserving, right? So I actually looked up imposter syndrome online because I wanted to make sure that I was straight right before we jumped on here. And let me just read you what I found. Imposter syndrome, also known as imposter phenomenon or imposterism, is a psychological occurrence in which people doubt their skills, talents, or accomplishments and have persistent internalized fear of being exposed as frauds. Oof.
It's heavy.
What does that mean in your own words, Cherise?
It means you don't think you deserve and you don't think you're ready to step into the next level.
Yeah, or maybe you're in that position already and you don't feel like you belong. Like you kind of just said that just now. But it basically, when I look at that definition, it means that you feel like if you're in a spot that you don't deserve, that you got lucky.
Okay.
You feel like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I'm here in this spot. I'm going to be exposed that I'm not good enough to be in this position. You see this with CEOs quite a bit. As they start growing and growing and growing, they really have just gotten good at problem solving and guessing what the next step is. And they build these companies and then they get to a level and they have a big team and they're like, shit, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. They really, and it is a lot, most people in fucking business have no idea what they're doing. They just got good at guessing and taking the next best step, and they just trust themselves to figure it out as they go.
Yeah, I mean, we're all just kids in old skin, like you say.
Yeah.
Just playing games and figuring it out as we go.
Yeah, I forgot I said that. We're all just kids in old skin. It's true. So I think imposter syndrome is the feeling of not being deserving of your current position, feeling like you got lucky. But it's also, like I think what you mentioned, the feeling that you don't deserve the next level. Mm-hmm. That if you stepped into it and people were to like look at your resume or look at your background, you would feel like you don't qualify for the job. It's this belief system that you are less than the next position.
Yeah, that you're not living up to the expectations or the requirements or the standards set for whatever you have set in your head for that next level or whatever level you're at.
Yeah. And I think the main thing that the definition highlighted there was it's the imposter syndrome creates the fear of being exposed.
Yeah, we don't like to be exposed. We don't like feeling vulnerable.
Yeah, like somebody's gonna come up to you and just be like, "You're not the leader that you try to present yourself as.
Who do you think you are?"
Like, you know, everybody tries to put on their best, like put their best foot forward, present their best selves. And when you're a leader, there's a lot of pressure on you to be perfect. This exists in relationships too. You know, people not feeling deserving of being with the person that they're with.
Or deserving of love in general. Deserving of a good, healthy relationship, or deserving of love and caring from somebody else.
Or somebody wants to be with somebody and they have skeletons in their closet. And so when they meet that person, they fall in love or whatever, but they haven't revealed all their skeletons. They haven't told them where they've done wrong. And deep down inside, they fear that that person will find out about the bad things that they've done in their life and that they'll get exposed in the relationship. So maybe that's toeing the line of imposter syndrome, not feeling deserving of being in that relationship. But either way, regardless, imposter syndrome is the fear that you're going to be revealed as a fraud, that you don't belong. Have you ever felt imposter syndrome?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The first time in the military that I experienced it in any real serious way was when I was promoted to corporal and I got my first soldiers. And they were older than me, and they did not like that I, a young corporal who had just gotten pinned, was in charge of them. They were not a fan, and that made me question myself. Like, am I qualified to be a leader, even on this low level? Am I qualified to be a leader of these soldiers? And what I had to come to terms with was that, yeah, I absolutely was qualified, and I had gotten promoted ahead of them because I was qualified.
I had a similar thing happen to me where I was in, because as an engineer, the people that I was surrounded by, some of them were older because they were guys that had gone to college and then they would join the military because they got a bunch of student loan debt and they wanted to join the military to basically take care of that debt. And so they were guys that were further along in life. And then I ended up getting promoted, just like you said. And it was the same thing. I was leading guys that were older than me. I was like 19 years old and one of the guys was in his 30s, you know, or one of the other guys was in his late 20s. And then here it's like, Jeremiah, go tell these grown men what to do every day.
Your beard hasn't even fully filled in yet. And you're out here telling
my beard was there, kind of. All right. It wasn't there, but I had the sideburns coming in.
You did have the sideburns. You had some luscious sideburns.
Remember, I really pushed the limits on my sideburns.
They were right at standard.
Yeah. So in the military, you have like a regulation on how far your sideburns can go down. They can only go down as low as the inside of the lowest part of the inner ear. Okay. So where your ear is open.
Yeah. Your ear hole.
Your ear hole. The bottom of that is where. So I would basically toe the line and shave right up to that. And I remember my platoon sergeant got freaking pissed at me one time. And he was like, he told me I was pushing it. And I got in a freaking big old argument with him and like pushed back. And I told him I was meeting the regulation, but he was like, yeah, you're meeting the reg, but you're right on the line. And he was basically saying, you're meeting the minimum standard.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, this is my identity. This is
these sideburns are who I am.
Yeah, exactly. But
so silly.
I mean, it was a big emotional event because I had to push back against a senior leader and I believed firmly in my sideburns and I was like, no, I'm doing the right thing and I want them. And but it was such a trivial.
Yeah, but thing. You have so little autonomy in the military that, you know, the little bit that you do have, like you fight for.
Right. And I remember I had a one-on-one with him and talked about it one time because he called me out in front of everybody. He was like a newer guy that came to us while we were overseas. He was a new platoon sergeant, showed up. And then when he got there, he kind of like went around the room and corrected everybody, right? He did his introduction and he started off hard. He was like, basically told everybody was fucked up. And he went around the room, then he got to me and he was like, you. He's like, your sideburns. He's like, I look at him and I'm like, you're toeing the line. And he just basically went around and profiled everybody and called us all out. And
was he right?
With my sideburns?
No, about how he was calling people out.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. I was toeing the line. And that was a indicator that I was the guy that was going to push back a little bit, kind of thought he was too cool for his britches. I was a performer though. So I was one of those guys where I was like cocky, confident guy. And I knew I felt like I was kind of like hot shit or whatever, but I was a little bit more arrogant than
anything.
You're
not a big shot.
Yeah, exactly. I thought I was a big shot, but anyway, I regress. The point with that was I actually stood up for myself and then I met him halfway. Because I respected him and I thought he actually was a high performer, like a really good leader. And so I listened to him, but I did push back and I was proud of myself for standing up for myself on those sideburns. But back to imposter syndrome. So yeah, I mean, I dealt with that as well. And the next time that I got it, they felt like an imposter. Honestly, when I got selected for the 75th Ranger Regiment, when I became a Ranger in 75th. So for you guys who don't know, if you want to be a Ranger, 75th Ranger, okay, not a regular Army Ranger where you go to Ranger school, but like a Special Operations Ranger.
Yeah, not just the tab, but actually in the unit.
Yeah, the scroll. Okay, there's a big difference. They call them real rangers at the regiment. They're like, are you a ranger or are you a real ranger? As the guys will say, especially if you're going through ranger school and there's rangers there. Or actually, no, not at ranger school, but like people will, like when you're back at the duty station, if you're just walking around and you introduce yourself, you're like, oh yeah, I'm a ranger. They'll fucking say that shit. Ranger or real ranger? Or if you're talking about somebody, is he a ranger or is he a real ranger? A real ranger is like the special operations one. So anyway, when I got selected, you know, it's a big ordeal because you go through the special operations selection. It's like a whole month. And it's, they scrutinize every aspect of your life, physically, mentally, emotionally. They fucking, you know, do a psychological eval on you. And then we, our class had like 35 something people that qualified to go and attend. And I think like there was 13 of us that passed or some shit like that. And there was only a handful of, there was like three officers or something like that. There's only three or four officers. I could get those numbers a little bit off, but it's basically ballpark in that area. And I was one of the officers that got selected. And when I did, I remember it was the biggest adrenaline high of my life. My eyes were freaking just shot. Like they said yes. And I was like, oh my God. And I remember I went into my room and to put some gear away after they selected me. And then I went into the bathroom. I looked myself in the mirror and I looked like I had just done a bunch of like drugs. I was just like, I looked right in the mirror. My eyes were all like huge and I was just like smiling and I was just like, yes. It was like the happiest I've ever been in my life. Like one of the top times. Cause there was so much pressure.
Yeah.
There was so much pressure and I had worked so hard for it. And I got there and I remember being so excited. And then I immediately afterwards just felt like they had made a mistake. Mm. And I was like, I remember feeling like, why the fuck did they pick me? I'm like, what the fuck did I do? I saw the other officers that came through and the other candidates that came through that did not get selected. Mm-hmm. And then I saw some of the other ones that did. And I was just like, the guys that didn't get selected are better than me. I'm like, why? These guys are better than me. Why do they not get selected? But I was like, I had like a delusion about my ability, you know, about who I was. And I felt that big time. And then when I got to regiment, I constantly had this feeling of, yeah, getting caught, getting exposed, I guess. And feeling like I just felt like I was constantly in a position where I was going to, if I got put on the spot, I was going to fail.
They were going to find you out.
Right. And where do you think that comes from?
Lack of confidence, insecurity comes from a lot of places. A fixed mindset.
Yeah.
If you have a fixed mindset as opposed to a growth mindset, you're going to not feel like you're able to grow into these positions and change and evolve so that you do feel qualified. You're going to feel like you're always, well, this is the way I am and I'm always going to be like this. So I'm never going to be deserving of this position. I'm never going to be deserving of this upgrade. I'm never going to be deserving of this change, of this growth.
Yeah. I think one, it's subconscious. If I, you know, pull out my mindset, fucking, you know, education and shit, it's subconscious programming, right? You believe yourself to be a certain way. You have a certain self-image. And then when you stretch that self-image and you stretch what you're doing as a person, you're going to still have the old self-image. It's like that book, Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz.
Great book.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know anything about your self-image, basically humans have two self-images. You have how you perceive yourself and then how you believe the world perceives you. And Maxwell Maltz was a guy that he did cosmetic surgery back in the 70s, I believe. And what he would do is he would do like nose surgeries or whatever. And he discovered that when he would, you know, change somebody's face, that some people he would change their nose or the scars that they had. And they would go look in the mirror and they would be completely amazed. Like, oh my gosh, I got a brand new face. This is amazing. And then other people, he would do the same treatment and they would think, they would act like nothing ever changed. They'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm still hideous. What the heck? This, how come this didn't work? And so there was a dissociation, like a disconnect between their actual perceived reality. It's like body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
You know, where somebody perceives their body to be different than what actually exists. So there's a lot of people confuse imposter syndrome with just being new at something too. Like I see this with people that want to get on social media. Oh, I don't feel like I should put my face on social media. I just feel like I don't belong there. Like I feel like I'm going to get, it's just going to feel awkward. Just because you feel awkward about something or out of place doesn't mean you have imposter syndrome. It just means you're a fucking beginner.
Yeah. You don't have the reps in yet.
Exactly. Like everybody feels awkward. So you need to take, for anybody out there that feels like they have imposter syndrome about anything you're doing in life, your work, doesn't matter what it is. If you're getting on social media, whatever, you feel like you don't belong. The first thing you need to audit is whether or not you're just a beginner. If you're a beginner, you're not going to feel confident in that spot. Nobody felt confident when they first started something.
Think about when you started riding a bike. You know, the first time you get on your bike, what happens? You get nervous, you get scared. I know for me, it took me about a week to learn how to ride my bike because I was so frightened,
yeah.
You know, and I would grab onto the fence as soon as my mom let go. I would grab onto the fence and I'd skin my knees up and I'd just fall off the bike. It was awful, awful, awful. But once I got it, my confidence went through the roof and I didn't feel like that anymore. I didn't feel like a beginner anymore. And then I was riding with no hands, standing up and standing on my seat, doing all types of dangerous stuff that kids shouldn't be doing.
Yeah. Now that we got that out of the way, if you guys, first thing is like, if you feel like an imposter, take a hard look at your situation and ask yourself, am I an imposter or am I just a beginner? Because that'll help frame your situation better. And then you'll be able to like work through it. Now, the next piece is like, if you have been in the position that you're in for a while and you keep feeling like you're about to get exposed, like maybe after Jeremiah got selected for the regiment, he gets there and no matter how much experience he gets, he keeps feeling like he doesn't belong, like he's going to get exposed and like there's something wrong and that he's just getting lucky. Okay. Two things that are happening in that situation. First thing is that your self-image is one of the past. You have not developed the perception that you are a successful person in your industry. You know, it would be like me believing that I was still that small kid from a little town or a small town kid in the Ranger Regiment and I didn't belong there.
And when you're starting something new, you don't have the eye for it anyway. So you don't even know what you're looking for until you start doing it.
Yeah, but even after you started doing it, if it's that feeling still exists there and you haven't ever like, you still keep feeling the same imposter syndrome, then the issue is that you've never really stopped to look at yourself. You keep like your self-image hasn't upgraded. And usually that's a byproduct of hanging out with the same type of people, like and doing the same type of thing. So this leads me to my second point. The second thing that I think that causes imposter syndrome is living two lives.
That's a good one. It's good.
When I look back on my life and I realize the times in my life where I felt like an imposter, where I was new at something, were just me being a beginner. And then I look back on my life and I realize the other times in my life where I felt like an imposter, after I got the experience, those times I felt like an imposter because I wasn't living in 100% alignment with what I was supposed to be doing, with what the right thing was. And I was basically trying to outwork bad habits. You know, I would be at work being that super soldier, doing a good job, and then I'd take off the uniform and I would do questionable shit. Or just, to be honest, maybe it wasn't even that bad. Maybe it was just cracking beers at night, overeating a little bit, and you're like, oh, that's not too bad. But still, that same shit eats you up on the inside. Whenever you don't listen to you, it doesn't matter what you're not listening to yourself on.
Your habits make you.
Yeah, and not listening to yourself destroys your inner self-worth. So it doesn't matter what justifications you give for the bad habits you have. If you make bad habits that you are not in alignment with, deep down you know is wrong, you're going to carry those bad habits and that belief system into work. So how the fuck could you feel like a super soldier hero at work with the uniform on when you know deep down inside the skeletons in your closet were doing all the wrong things afterward? It's not going to fucking, you're not going to be able to outwork the imposter syndrome. You're going to be trying to, you know, convince yourself that you're belonging in a team and in a spot that you don't actually belong in because of what you're doing in your off time.
Yep.
What do you think about that?
I think that if you're not in alignment with your true self, that nothing is going to feel good. Nothing you do is going to feel good, no matter how much pleasure you seek, no matter how much good you try to do. If you're not congruent with your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions, you're going to feel like crap.
Yeah, straightforward. I mean, it's true. Breaking this down a little bit further, let's get more specific about what could possibly cause imposter syndrome. All right. I would be lying if I said that my imposter syndrome has completely removed itself, right? And I live a pretty fucking straight and narrow life, like, especially compared to the old life.
Oh, man, yeah.
It's crazy because there used to be a time in my life where if I got, you know, tanked or something, and even if I didn't make any bad decisions, but I got drunk and then woke up the next day, I wouldn't even think anything of it. I wouldn't even have, I'd have zero remorse. I'd be like, all right, whatever. Like, yeah, that sucked. Whatever. I'm gonna go work it out. Go work out, go sweat, move on. And today, if I like don't eat the right amount of meals or don't follow through on a sleep commitment or where, I don't know, just any small. Yeah,
you falter on any of your commitments and.
Yeah. Lose my shit. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go to the gym at this time. I don't go to the gym at that time, but I go later. I'm like, fuck, I still beat myself up because I didn't go at the exact time that I said I was gonna go. And and I just tear myself up.
Yeah, it taints your attitude. It taints your day.
Yeah. So the more you work on yourself and the higher standards you set for yourself, the harder you're going to be on yourself. And my point with all that, I live a pretty straight and narrow life these days. Very, very disciplined. It took me a long time to get here. But the imposter syndrome still kind of rears its head from time to time. Like, I remember as an entrepreneur, I jumped on some coaching calls. And I just felt out of place, even though I had been an entrepreneur for a while and I had done speaking engagements before. I still felt like I was not the expert in the room.
You were playing at it.
What if they find out that I don't know what I'm talking about? But I'm like, I've done everything I'm talking about. So why would I have that feeling? I think in that situation, I was just basically newer to that group. So that's where the imposter syndrome kind of came from, right? Yeah. And now point being with all of this is that when I started living in alignment, when I started really just doing the right thing all the time, that's when the imposter syndrome became the smallest or the weakest or the less significant. And what did that mean? That meant that, fuck, I got rid of the bad habits. I stopped filling my time with things that weren't good for me. That's really what fixed it. That's my recommendation to anybody here that feels like an imposter, is you have to take a hard look at how you're living when no one is watching. If you have the slightest bit of guilt in anything that you are doing, you have to fix it.
It's an integrity problem.
100%. What about you? What do you think time in your life? So you talked about the military, but what's another time in your life where you felt like an imposter and then maybe you fixed it?
My first group class as a dog trainer.
Oh, okay. Tell me about that.
So for anybody that doesn't know, I also train dogs in addition to working with Jeremiah and Conquer Academy. I have had my own business for several years and I love it. It's my passion. It's what I'm the best at. And I like to think that I'm one of the best in the field, but I still have a lot to learn.
There's that imposter syndrome rearing its head. Look at that.
I know. I think it's that's less imposter syndrome for me and more just being humble and being a student of the craft.
Fair enough.
But I remember my first group class and, oh man, I was so nervous because I think I had 8 people in there and I walked in and my body was trembling. I was trembling. My voice was trembling. I was like, I don't deserve to be here. I was like, all the other trainers in the facility had been training for, 20, 30 years. And here I was, fresh out of the army, only been doing it as a profession for, a few years at this point. And it took me until probably our third class meeting before I got in there and I really found my stride. And I realized, not only am I not an imposter, but I am damn good at this. My students, they love coming to class. They have fun, they learn, and they actually apply the material. So, I looked at all those metrics and I was like, this viewpoint that I had about myself was incorrect. It was off. And I was able to resolve that really quickly. And it turned out to be a situation like you spoke of. It was less imposter syndrome and more an experience.
I love that. So what helped you get through it? What helped you get through the uncomfortableness that you were experiencing?
Taking action.
Yeah, just consistent action.
Yeah, consistent action, doing the work, making the moves, and continuing to be a student of the craft, continuing to learn, continuing to grow, because the more you learn and you grow, and theory can bog you down a lot of times, but for me personally, I enjoy theory because I enjoy putting theory into action.
Yeah.
So the more I learned, the more power I had, and the more my power levels went up until I was over 9,000, you know?
Yeah. Like the sayings. No, it's good perspective. And what I just want to jump in and highlight, guys, is that what Sharice is talking about is not shrinking away from your fears. It's growing into the person that overcomes them. Okay. So if you're experiencing imposter syndrome, that imposter feeling is a notification. It's a notification from your conscience that you need to change something that you're doing. You need to aggressively step into that fear. You need to change what you're doing behind closed doors. There's a reason you feel the way that you feel. And so, like, a lot of times people jump into these personal development books. They listen to personal development podcasts. They study this information. And it's because they're trying to reason in their mind for why they feel the way that they feel. They're trying to justify it and dissect it. But the real answer is that imposter syndrome is not happening by accident. You're causing the imposter syndrome. So you're either new or you're doing shit you're not supposed to be doing. A top performer who maybe, like, I'm thinking of somebody right now who's in sales, who feels like they keep getting lucky in sales. Oh, I don't deserve this. They have a self-worth issue. They feel like they don't deserve the money that they're making. And this is very, very dangerous, because if you don't feel like you deserve to be in the spot where you're at, you will self-sabotage. 100%. You will do things to get yourself out of the great position that you're in.
You'll blow it right up.
You will. I've seen it. I've seen people be a top performer at work, crush it in sales, not feel like they belong there, and then go piss away the money, get hammered, get tanked, not show up to work for a week. And then they're like, the job is threatening to fire them, and, you know, they don't even really know what's going on, and they kind of slip through the cracks and stuff, and they still stay there. And it's not until they stop doing that shit behind closed doors where they feel like they actually belong and they can see their worth. You will not see your worth if you're destroying your worth.
That's so true. You're not going to realize the impact and your strengths and your power if you don't do the work.
Well, not just do the work, but every activity that you do is either an investment or a withdrawal into your personal self-worth. So, for example, think about, you wake up in the morning, and you told yourself you're going to get up at a certain time. When you listen to yourself and you do that, you do the activity, you get up at the time you specified, that's an investment into your self-worth. You're proud of yourself for that.
Absolutely.
And then you do the next thing. You wake up, you go to the gym, or you do your morning routine. You start stacking those fucking wins. Those are investments into you. You start feeling good about yourself. Now, the withdrawal, when you start pulling money out of the self-worth bank account, that's when you don't listen to yourself and you oversleep and you're like, you know what? I'm going to intentionally not listen to myself and not get up at the time I said I'm going to. I'm not going to do the morning routine. I'm going to bypass all the things I told myself I was going to do. And not only that, but I'm just going to be impulsive today, eat whatever I want to eat, cut corners, and just chalk the whole thing off. All these bad habits, chalk it all off as just, you know what? I'm just living. You know, I just want to enjoy my life.
I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
This is fun. This is great. And you'll tell yourself stuff like that. You'll lie to yourself to convince yourself that it's okay what you're doing.
Right. And all those bad habits and bad activities are withdrawals from your self-worth bank account. So if imposter syndrome comes from a lack of self-worth, and that's what I want you guys to start working on as we start building you into the leader that you know is inside of you. You can absolutely have the job and the position and the duty that you have. You can absolutely be with the gorgeous partner that you're with. You can absolutely have those things and not feel worthy of any of them.
If they were out of your league, they wouldn't be with you.
Right. So if you keep going on this path where you keep destroying your self-worth, the things that you do have, the job, the beautiful spouse, the great family, if you keep destroying your self-worth, you'll eventually get to the point where you don't feel like you deserve any of it, and all of it will be gone. you're not going to stay in alignment and stay within harmony with a frequency that you don't feel like you belong at.
Say that one more time for the people. I think that's really important. Say it again.
You are not going to stay in harmony and alignment with the frequency that you're not a match with. Okay. So like the way that our lives are created is that they are a byproduct of what we're attracted to and in harmony with. So I like to say shitheads don't hang out with successful people. You know, they don't. Shitheads don't hang out with multimillionaires. Multimillionaires don't hang out with shitheads. And when I say shithead, I mean somebody that's cutting corners, lying, cheating, stealing, being a detriment to society. It doesn't happen. Drugs. Right. You can be a shithead multimillionaire, but what I'm saying is that shithead is a very specific type of person. And what I'm trying to say is that a good quality person doesn't hang out with a low quality person.
Yeah.
So the way that life, your reality gets created is that you are in harmony with everything that is around you. Look at your life kind of like going into, I like to use the mall as an example. Like you walk into the mall, there's freaking dozens, if not hundreds of stores in there. And you go into some and you don't go into others. Why do you go into the stores that you go into?
Habit.
Habit, not really thinking.
Programming.
Programming. It's because you're in harmony with those stores. You're an energetic match to those stores. Some of it is habitual, but even your habits are a frequency. Okay, they're a form of energy. So you basically are going in the mall and you will go into the stores that you are an energetic match to, the stores that you're familiar with and you identify with. It's a lot like picking up the phone and calling somebody. If I want to call somebody, I dial their number, right? My phone's got their contacts, and then I have a direct line to that person and then we speak. When you go into the mall, it's the same thing. You're looking for certain clothes. You're going to dial the number for the frequency that you match with, and you're going to go into the store just like you would call the friend, and you're going to grab those clothes and walk out with them. When you're not in alignment,
hopefully you pay first so you're not a shitbag.
Yeah, and you're going to pay for them. So that's why when you leave the mall, you walk out with certain clothes that fit a certain identity that you're an energetic match with, and then you don't even see some of the other stores. You know, like when we were coming up,
like when you talk about a blue car. Right. All you see is blue cars. You're not going to see the green cars or the orange cars or the white cars.
Right. So it's like when we were coming up, we didn't really see the Gucci stores and we didn't see the Nike. We just basically blocked those all off because that wasn't within our grasp mentally.
It wasn't in our paradigm.
Right. It wasn't, and we weren't an energetic match for those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you fly private, first class. You're like, the belief when you're flying first class is, before you do it, it's like, I can't afford that. But you haven't even looked at the price of the ticket. And then you look at the price of the ticket, you're like, oh shit, I can afford that. You know? So we create these barriers between us and what we want all the time, but the barrier is created because we don't see ourselves as an energetic match to the things that we want. Those things that could be the things that we could get. All right. Bringing this all together. Imagine going through your entire life and you're always matching and bumping into things that you're in harmony with. Your spouse, your animals, your clothes. You do this little by little and your whole reality becomes a byproduct of what you're an energetic match to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you create this great life, human beings have a thing called willpower. You can force yourself into the nice store, the freaking Prada store or the Gucci store or the high-end store.
But if you're not an energetic match for it, you're going to be so uncomfortable while you're in there.
Right.
It's going to make your stomach hurt. You're going to be like, I can't look at anything. I'm not going to touch anything. Oh my God, I don't. And you're going to rush out.
Right. Or maybe you force yourself to buy some of it. You take it home, but then you never put it on.
Mm-hmm. That happens in your closet and collects dust.
Right. So in life, if you can force yourself to the vibrational plane, the frequency that you want to be in harmony with, you can build the great life. But if you don't deep down feel like you deserve it, or you keep destroying yourself on the inside, your self-worth over and over and over again, you're basically telling yourself you don't belong, you don't deserve to have any of the clothes that you picked from that mall, from that store. So you're going to eventually stop going into the store and go back to your old ways or never wear the clothes at all. You're never going to experience the life at all. You're going to keep going back to the old shitty habits and live that life.
It's easy to backslide.
Yeah, you're going to shrink away from your problems versus grow into them. What's going to happen is you're going to build this great life. People are going to think that you're a great person. Your wife is going to see you a certain way. Your husband's going to see you a certain way. And little by little, What's going to eventually happen is you are going to get exposed for who you really are, for the frequency that you keep visiting when no one is watching. And then you're going to have an energetic break. You're not going to be in harmony and you're not going to be in alignment with that life anymore. And then your life is going to be a byproduct of the frequency that you've been visiting the most, which is those bad habits.
Yep. Your external life will rise or fall to meet the frequency of your internal thoughts.
Right. So you'll be fucking divorced, broke, and at the bar, because that's what you've been doing, telling yourself you deserve the entire time you're building this fucking life that you're forcing yourself into, instead of becoming the person that deserves the life that you wanted.
Mm-hmm. And that's so important, you know, becoming the person that deserves, not just being arrogant, like we talked about on the last episode. But if you want to check out arrogance, check out our last episode. It was really good.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're arrogant, you're never going to reach those heights.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, guys, it's not a lost cause for all of you. If you feel imposter syndrome, the real solution is, this is what the people won't tell you. This is what the books and the authors and the freaking experts won't tell you. And I'll tell you through fucking experience that the imposter syndrome goes away with the more pure you live. I say pure because that's the best word that I can really describe it. The more in alignment with what you know is right, the imposter syndrome will go away, because it's like Ed Milet says, confidence is built by keeping the promises you keep to yourself.
I love that.
Yeah. And it's the small ones. It's like little things you tell yourself that you're going to do, not the biggest ones. It's all the small things. That's why following through on your word is so important.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of an investment into your self-worth. Yeah. It's just the key to it all. And I'll say this, my brother, one of my youngest brothers, my youngest brother messaged me the other day and he's like, "I ever tell you how brave I think you are?" It was really nice.
That's really sweet.
It was a really cool compliment. And I was like, nah, I was doing some cardio when he hit me. I was doing the treadmill or whatever, or Stairmaster. And he's like, "Yeah, man." He's like, "I just think you're extremely fucking brave." And we were talking a little bit. Basically, he's watched me just jump from one thing to the next level through blind faith. And the only way that I have personally been able to do that, and like I said, I'm not perfect. I've had really low self-worth for a long time and I've worked through those issues. But the more I keep the promises I'm making to myself, the more I do the right thing, live in alignment, build my integrity, work on myself every single day, be disciplined, the more courageous I feel, the more I feel like no matter what happens, I'm going to be able to pull it off. And so a lot of times, you know, people get stuck with fear for that next level. I really don't have it. I experience the feelings of fear, but I know deep down inside I'm going to be able to figure it the fuck out, because I've invested so much time into myself, understanding myself, and knowing that when push comes to shove, I still show up. I still do the things I say I'm going to do. When you have that mindset, that unwavering mindset, that you will not fucking break regardless of what's going on in life, it doesn't matter what goal you have at all. You're going to step into it, be fearless, and you'll figure it the fuck out, because you believe in you and you've invested a ton into your personal self-worth.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're so right. You're so right.
What do you have for final comments as we wrap this up on imposter syndrome and, you know, just everything from not shrinking away from your problems, growing into the person that achieves them? Anything that specifically you want to?
Yeah, I'd like to touch a little bit on strategies for overcoming imposter syndrome. And the biggest thing I will say is, well, I've actually got two things. One, be in alignment with your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. That's going to give you confidence, and that confidence is going to help dispel those feelings of not being good enough, not being prepared enough, not being ready. And then two, take action. Take action. The longer you sit and you wallow and you sit in that despair, you sit in that feeling, the more you're going to associate yourself with that feeling.
Oh yeah.
So in order to break that cycle, you have to take action. You have to try differently. You have to do something about it, not just think about it.
Don't try to solve your problems from a low vibrational state. When you have poor little old me syndrome, Plum syndrome.
Wow.
You will not see solutions. You will only see problems. Therefore, You have to get to a good vibration, a positive attitude. Go get that workout, go get that cardio session and get yourself elevated and then try to solve your problems. Don't try to talk yourself out of being an imposter when you feel like shit about yourself and you have that Plum syndrome, poor little old me. Go do something that elevates you and makes you feel good and then address the imposter syndrome. That's what I'm saying. And what Sharice just said about aligning your thoughts, feelings, and actions, you guys, what that means when it comes to imposter syndrome, let me really just break this down for you. If you are thinking, feeling like an imposter, you're telling yourself, your self-talk is that you're going to get exposed. You don't belong here. I can't do this. I'm not going to succeed. One day this is all going to collapse on top of me. I don't belong in this position. And then deep down inside, you feel that fear. Okay. And then what ends up happening when you feel like that, your actions, you basically start behaving like somebody that doesn't belong in that spot anyways. After the duty day is done, after you're done with the job, you go back to those self-destructive behaviors and you escape from your problems and you just, whatever, drink, overeat, indulge.
You become the person that doesn't deserve it.
Exactly. So aligning yourself, thoughts, feelings, and actions, what that looks like is it starts with your thoughts. If you do not want to be an imposter or feel like an imposter, you have to create massive positive self-talk. I tell people, be a badass in the morning. You have to speak boldly to yourself and be that badass through thinking. Like most of you guys talk so much shit to yourself. Stop doing that. Stop berating yourself. And the only way you're going to stop berating yourself is by taking the action, like Sheree says, and then pumping yourself up. Okay. So if you don't want to feel like an imposter, you want to feel confident, like you deserve to be in the spot that you're at, like the badass that you know you are, the goat, speak that way to yourself in your mind and then feel it. And then after you feel it, make sure you follow it up and take action as that person that you say you are. If you don't take the action, you will again start feeling like an imposter. So you have to follow suit. And what that means is one of my mentors says, adversity reveals a man to himself. So you can think positive, feel positive, and kick ass when you're well rested and caffeinated. But can you do it when you feel like shit? Adversity reveals a leader to themselves. When adversity hits, can you think positive and confident, feel positive and confident, and get shit done? That's when it really matters. Your level of success will not exceed your tolerance for stress. So when stress hits, a bad day hits, if you can't get yourself to do the tasks that you say you're going to do, you will never level up past the current level that you're at. You have to grow bigger and grow into the person that conquers your problems and conquers the adversity that's in front of you.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said.
Ladies, gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed today's show. What I'll ask is that you guys share it. If you found value in this, if it was good for you, if you got some good insights, if we disrupted some of your self-sabotage beliefs, if you got some enjoyment out of it, share it over with a friend who's working on their personal development, their growth, who wants to be a good leader for their family, their workers, their business. You know, you can think of that person right now. Whoever you're thinking of, just go ahead and send it right over to them. Do us that solid. Sharice, anything else before we close up?
Today is another opportunity to be your best self. Take that opportunity, live it, dream it, be it, know it, do it.
I love it. And mine is, the chains of habit are too light to be felt until they're too heavy to be broken. What that means is that you guys are either, if you've stacked up bad habits, they're going to feel hard to break, too heavy to break. But you're either building a habit or you're breaking one. So before they get any heavier, choose to break them. Destroy that imposter syndrome, any residual imposter syndrome that may be inside of you. Become the leader you were born to be. Until next time, be the leader.
I need some motivation. Every day I try a little harder, but my dedication. Keep my head way, way above the water. Crowding myself when I yell at the wall. Begging to run, but I needed to crawl. I see the finish line up ahead, trying to get traction from all of this tread. I am a king, I am a queen. I am more than the people can see. I am strong when I'm needing to be. Vulnerability's nothing to me. You can try, but I'm unshakable. My successes is never debatable. I'm chameleon, I'm so interchangeable. Here's to you and all that you are capable. You gotta go.